From the beginning of time, God had created the 9 choirs of angels, and the majority of those angels would remain faithful to God. And we know of the angels that they neither rest nor sleep, nor do they ever stop toiling for the Lord. And yet, despite this fact, it was not an angel who was chosen to be the guardian of the Holy Family, but it was a man, and not only a man, but a man much like us. For he was a man conceived in original sin, and according to St. Peter Julian, by the grace of God, that sin was expunged from his souls at the very moment he too was created, so that it can be said that he both suffered the stain of original sin, and before any time would pass, that sin was expunged from his soul. And that is why St. Peter Julian says that when we're dealing with St. Joseph, he says we are dealing with a man closer to the order of co-redemption than he is to the order of original sin. And yet we know by faith that he truly contracted it. And today in the gospel, we see the reason why St. Joseph was given these most extraordinary graces, because he was being prepared from his conception to take that role in the Holy Family by which he would be the head of the Holy Family. And indeed, after the role of the Blessed Virgin Mary, there is no greater honor given to man or woman under the sun, nor to any angels who remain faithful to God. But what is most extraordinary is that by grace, Saint Joseph was deemed by God to be more worthy to protect the Holy Family than simply not one of those angels who always remain faithful to God, who never rest and is always active, carrying out the will of God. But it was to a man who needed to eat and who needed to sleep, who did suffer toil from his labors, because while original sin was expunged from his soul, many of the effects of it would remain, but not those effects by which we misinterpret today's gospel. For many of the doctors and fathers point out that when we speak of the toil of Saint Joseph, we are speaking of that time in which he knew it was time to lay his head down from his labors for the day. He did not overexert himself nor underexert himself, and yet all the time he exerted himself even more than we could ever dream of, because he was always carrying out the will of God, and he always understood that mystery that was to come. And so, amongst the effects of original sins that Saint Joseph did not labor under was that in which he would have evil thoughts of others. And often in today's gospel, we use the fact that we are suffering from such effects of original sins to somehow think Saint Joseph had suspected Our Lady of something that would be untoward. Indeed, this was not possible. It is really a simple understanding as to what was transpiring in today's gospel. Saint Joseph, being so united to God, so able to discern the will of God, so united to the Lord in prayer, could not have possibly thought anything untoward of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And so, when he saw her with child, he realized that he was in some way involved in that mystery that was foretold of old when our first parents fell and when they were promised a Redeemer, and that mystery that was alluded to by all the patriarchs and the prophets of old, that God would become a man, and that the man would be the son of a woman. And so Saint Joseph knew very well that Our Lady's virginity had suffered not under any form of impurity, even if it wasn't her fault, as many would seek to explain. Indeed, it seems to assail the very sensitivities of any Christian worth the name Christian to even suggest something untoward of the Mother of God. And so, Saint Joseph, in his humility, sought to bow out of the mystery. And we know this very precisely because further in Scripture, it describes Saint Joseph with a very simple term. He was a just man. If he had suspected the Mother of God of something untoward, being a just man, he could not have put her away privately, but he was obliged to deliver her to a death, and that death was by stoning. And so it is very clear that he did not suspect the Mother of God of anything untoward, but simply sought to bow out of the mystery that he did not deem himself worthy to be a part of. And the angel would remind him that he was called to be a part of this mystery, an intimate part of this mystery. Indeed, the mystery could not have been completed without the fatherhood of Saint Joseph. And so, in honoring Saint Joseph, we are honoring that man who alone was chosen to be the patron and the protector of the Holy Family, and hence the patron and protector of the mystical body of Christ. One of the early saints in the church had predicted that the church would always go forward, always produce saints, but its greatest age would be the age when it overcame its amnesia. The form of amnesia that he was speaking of is that he said the church at some point would become forgetful of the mystery of Saint Joseph. Not that the members of the body would not pray to him, but they would become forgetful of the real role. And he said that when that role of Saint Joseph was recognized fully by the mystical body of Christ, then the church would see its greatest and most splendid of all ages. And so we see very clearly this truth alluded to by the Mother of God, especially in her modern approved apparitions, in which she brings Saint Joseph always to the fore, always to the center, always with the Christ child, as the unique statue that we have today, that we have in this church, depicts Saint Joseph. For many see a statue of Saint Joseph holding the Christ child, and normally our Lord is holding the earth. But in the statue we have here, Saint, our Lord is holding the cross, the instrument of his salvation. And so in this mystery, we see most precisely the role that Saint Joseph had. Saint Peter Julian Amard points out that as the Christ child labored with him in the woodshop, Saint Joseph was aware that he was howling out the hands that would one day receive those nails for our salvation. That he, when he was taking care of the bodily needs of the Christ child, he knew that he was fattening up the lamb for the slaughter. And so, when that time came that was appointed for our Lord to take over the woodshop of his father, Saint Joseph, Saint Joseph, it is said, bowed out of the mystery again. But this time his bowing out was a bowing out in sorrow. For he knew that by bowing out of the mystery this time, by giving up his life, the Christ child would come to the fore. But Saint Joseph had to do it, because if Saint Joseph was alive during the passion and death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that passion and death of the Lord would not have occurred. Because at the time, Saint Joseph, before our Lord, was the rightful heir to the throne of David, and so he had to bow out of the mystery, or our salvation could not have been accomplished. And so he made the sacrifice of giving up his role as patron and protector of the Holy Family in order that Christ could become the patron and protector of the whole human race. And our Lord asks one thing, it is the same thing that his mother asks. We must give Saint Joseph a prominent place in our life, the same place that he had in the life of the Holy Family, for he is the patron and protector of the mystical body, and hence the patron and protector of all of us. It was Saint Joseph who protected the Eucharistic mystery from undergoing that sacrifice before his time, when he outwitted Herod and all his minions, and he was constantly outwitting all those who would seek to take the Christ child before the appointed time. So that when the appointed time was about to begin, that is, when our Lord began to exercise the duties of manhood, normally considered around the age of 15, how contrary is this to our modern culture, in which we do not consider young men truly young men until what, 30, 40, perhaps 50? But it was not the understanding of the ancients, for they knew that a young man was capable of great responsibility. And so we must return again to the life of Saint Joseph, the life of the Holy Family, in order to truly discern what our life is and what God's will in our life is to be. And so we must learn, like Saint Joseph, to pray and to labor, to pray and to labor for the sake of Christ, who would do so for our sake. And so let us truly honor this most magnificent of all saints after the Blessed Virgin Mary by constantly calling upon him, especially in this day and age. It is no coincidence that in the rise of Marxist-Leninism that the Church has called particular attention to Saint Joseph, because it sees Saint Joseph as the answer to that philosophy. Why? Because that philosophy has one keynote, and it is the keynote often missed. Indeed, it is not alluded to, even in the attempt to ram down the throats of the citizens of this nation, a document and a doctrine that will ultimately bring about the reign of socialism, i.e. Marxism, over this nation, as it has spread over many other nations. The keynote of Marxist-Leninism or any socialist doctrine is the destruction of the family, the replacing of the family either by the government or by some other organization that was not divinely ordained to protect children. And so we must see very clearly what this keynote is, that this movement, this attempt, this philosophy that is being put on the shoulders of every man, woman, and child in the world today is a philosophy that is rooted in a hatred, an absolute demonic hatred for the family, and an attempt to assail the family at every step of the way. And there is only one who can protect the family, because the Holy Family is the icon. It is the exemplar of all true family life, and it was protected not by the nine choirs of angels, but by Saint Joseph. Indeed, what is most striking is that when Saint Joseph had to physically take the family, he did not do so by a blueprint laid out for him by an angel. The angel merely told him he must take the child, the mother, and flee. And so Saint Joseph immediately would offer a prayer to God, and he would discern the precise path that God wished that family to escape the hands of Herod and ultimately the hands of Satan that day. When our Lord was to be delivered up, it was to be at the time he appointed and he ordained, and no one could usurp that time. And so Saint Joseph most marvelously fulfilled, like all the angels and all the saints, God's will. But in the case of Saint Joseph, we are dealing with a man who did that even before he came forth from his own mother's womb. And that is why he is most extraordinary, because after the Blessed Virgin Mary, he was called most intimately into that mystery of the Incarnation, and hence the mystery by which he is the patron and protector of the mystical body of Christ, and hence the patron and protector of all family life, wherever it is assailed by false doctrines that reduce the human being to less than a machine, less than a brute, false doctrines that try to redefine anything in order that the human organ may be harvested. And so we do not hold to traditional definition of death, but we try to come up with all false mythologies, all false understandings that we have a brain death or some other form of death, because it is known that you cannot sell the organ of a man if he is truly dead. And so we must come up with some other doctrine, false notions, to redefine what death is. Always and everywhere, this modern culture is noted, its keynote is an assault on some member of a family. And we cannot separate that truth from the reality of our situation. Whenever a human being is treated less than a brute, it is not simply that one human being who is being assaulted, but it is the whole human family, because what ultimately is being said is that God made a mistake in the creation of this individual or that individual, and if God could have made a mistake in his case, then God could have made a mistake in your case. And so, when it is time for us to either do away with you or to harvest your organs, we have the right to do so. And so, ultimately, we are dealing with the very annihilation of that doctrine from which all family life flows. That is, the doctrine by which God is the Father, and hence the source of all life. And so ultimately, in the assault on the family, we have an assault on the very fatherhood of God. And so let us turn to this great patriarch of old, because he is one saint who while being always old, is always new, because Saint Joseph can outwit the whole legion of demonic angels with a simple thought and with a simple prayer. And so let us pray very earnestly that Saint Joseph does not become someone whom we simply send forth some pious prayers that ultimately reduce into pietism, but let us truly ask the question of him that Saint Maximilian would ask of the Blessed Virgin Mary: not what place does she have in my life, he would say, but what place did he have in the life of the Blessed Virgin Mary? And so we can too say of Saint Joseph: not what place does he have in my life, but what place do I have in his life? That life by which he always prayed for the advent of the Messiah, and when the Messiah was to come into the world, he was chosen to be the patron and the protector of that Messiah, and hence our patron and protector. And so let us pray to him who has always been known in the Church as the saint to pray for a happy death. And what is a happy death? That is a death in which we pass from this life doing the will of God, as Saint Joseph would pass from this life in the presence of his mother and in the presence of the Child, giving up the ghost in order that the Christ child may truly come to the fore, giving up his right to defend the Lord when he would enter into Calvary, so that it was not merely a man who was sacrificed for our sin. That is, Saint Joseph, who would have been obliged, as we have said, to stop the unjust crucifixion of Christ because he was the rightful heir. But he passed that up in order that the sacrifice that was offered would be an infinite sacrifice, and hence open again the gates of heaven for all of us. And so let us pray that we do God's will in some way, as Saint Joseph did that will, so that we may join him praising that good God together for all eternity.
Misericordes, oh.